Hi, everyone. This is Catherine Adams.
And Elizabeth Wallace. And you're listening to Binary System Podcast number 408. And tonight, we're recapping two episodes of Lore Olympus. We're going to start with episode 274, which is available for free right now on the Webtoons app. And then we're going to go straight into 275, which is only available if you're fast passing, which of course we are. But I do think this is going to be kind of a quick recap, because I think most of what you can sum both episodes up is by saying Hades and Hera work through their trauma in completely separate but totally valid ways.
Exactly, yes. And there's a smackdown fight.
Yeah. Okay, so we start at 274, where Hades is talking some more with Melano. And I have to, I don't know, in these two episodes, there did seem to be certain sections where I thought, this seems to be sort of reiterating things that we already knew.
There was definitely. I mean, I feel like some of this could have been merged with the last episode, Hades' conversation with Melano, because Melano's talking about how in the future, from where she was kidnapped from, Hecate was training her how to use her powers, and she would use her dream powers to help with the ghosts. And there's just these beautiful pictures of her, like, with Hecate in the library, which we already know Hecate does not like letting people into. So Hecate obviously loves Melano, and Melano riding on Hades' shoulder, helping to corral the ghosts around, because Melano has this power to be able to see what people like and what they don't like, and then, you know, get into their heads somehow. But she is blaming herself now because her grandfather, Cronos, has been making her hurt people.
Yep. And she's worried, of course, about Persephone and Hades hating her for what she's done. And she thinks that maybe she can make up for all the bad stuff by using her powers to protect everyone from Cronos. And Hades instantly is like, it's not your responsibility to make up for his bad behavior. You don't have to pay his debt in order to be loved. And obviously, you see that he's also talking to himself.
Yeah, because you see these little, like, ghostly images of himself as a child screaming and crying, and this whole idea that he's been holding himself responsible for what his father did. And he's definitely getting some catharsis out. And, you know, he tells Melano at one point, I could never hate you. I only just met you and I already love you. And that's just beautiful. But there's this lovely picture of the two of them just staring at each other. And then Melano reaches out and boops him on the forehead and says, do you want to see Nana now? And he's like, Nana? And it's Rhea!
Yay! So she's in her full, huge Titan form and everything. She's just as delighted to see Hades. She has been brought here from the past by Cronos. And they just basically kind of just spend a lovely couple minutes just catching up. You know, he talks about Poseidon, he talks about Zeus, he talks about how he's king of the underworld, and that he got married.
And she's delighted about all that. She wants to know if the two of them, and it's really kind of implying, like, does he use her fertility powers? Because he told her, I think you'd like her, you have a lot in common, you're both fertility goddesses. And Hades says, no, he doesn't. And she's like, why? And he's like, because I know what Cronos did to you and I don't want to hurt her. Mm-hmm. And Rhea says that could never happen because you obviously love her. And Hades says, but Cronos loved you. And she says, yes, but he loved power more. Do you love power more than your wife? And he says, no. And she said, then it'll be fine. So it's very comforting. And I think there's a lot of the commenters are talking about the fact that this is definitely an analogy for stopping the cycle of abuse, that he's not going to carry on not just what his father did, but what the entire patriarchy in this whole line of titans and fertility goddesses has been doing. He's going to be putting a stop to that here.
Yep. And I did notice two times things that she said when she said that Cronos loved her, but he loved power more. I was like, Zeus should be hearing this. Mm-hmm. And then later on, she tells Hades, real love should go both ways. It's not about one taking from another all the time. And I'm like, Zeus should definitely be listening to this.
Yes. Oh, God. And that nightmare that Persephone had where she and Apollo get married, and he's obviously draining her to the point where even his mother is thinking that he needs to back off. So it's definitely, we're seeing an awful lot of talking through different types of abuse and this really insidious nature of it, that the abuser rarely feels guilty, but the abused almost always does, like they brought this on themselves.
Yep. So she knows that Cronos is coming, and she says she has to go, and she just basically says that he is not like Cronus or Arnos, so he doesn't have to feel that kind of guilt, and he doesn't have to continue doing that, like you said. And then as soon as she disappears, you see Cronus appear, and Hades is standing there, and I just love the expression on his face.
Me too!
He's just facing down Cronus, but we switch right over to Hera, who's in her Titan form. Now, she's facing Cronus as well. So is this Cronus using his time powers to be in two places at the same time?
That's all I can think, because there are two separate battles going on, but there's no acknowledgement from Cronus that he's dealing with the one as he's dealing with the other. There's no, yeah, like, you know, him wincing as Hera breaks his finger in the next episode or anything like that as he's fighting Hades. And the artwork, I mean, it's just getting better and better. I mean, everything about Rhea was so beautiful, especially that one picture when Hades asks Rhea, what will happen to you now? And it's this idea, she and Melano, and I think Morpheus too, will all go back to where they belong. So she knows she's going back in time. And I think the Lore Olympians theorize that she must have been pulled from the time after Cronus had devoured both Hades and Poseidon. So, but it's not up to the point where she gets drained so badly that she eventually has to go into hibernation, which is as close to death as you can get for a Titan. But that when Hades asks what will happen to you now, and he's just kind of like floating in midair right in front of her, looking over his shoulder, and Rhea looks just like, her expression is so tired, but it's just so beautiful too.
Yeah, as usual, just gorgeous art all the way through.
Whew.
But we see Hera facing down Cronus, and Persephone is yelling over to her, for one, you know, oh my God, you look amazing. She's like, why, thank you. And she tells Persephone and Dionysus to go back to the mortal realm because she's got this. And then she turns to Cronus and says, remember how I said I forgave you? That was a lie. I don't.
And that's where we end the episode.
Yep. So we go straight into episode 275. We have several panels of Cronus looking at Hera before he finally says, come, we could rule all the realms together.
Yeah. Once again, the abuser deciding that he's all that in a bag of chips. So it does surprise him when Hera laughs at him and says, why on earth would I want something like that from you?
Yep. She says, you've been rotting away in this hellhole, plotting my demise for years, which you pretty much thought that she'd actually finally managed to do, but she didn't. And Cronus says, we will not fight today. We are both equal in power and strength. And Hera, she's got this like look in her face. You're right. We won't fight today, because fighting would imply that there's some sort of outcome where I don't kick your ass.
And she's giving him all of these hard truths. And he like reaches his hand back and strikes out at her. And she grabs his arm and deflects it down. And there's this smile on her face as she does that. And she says, here's what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm. Today, I will not be flattering you. Today, I will not be soothing you. Today, I will not be taking the high road. And that's when she snaps one of his fingers.
And it's, again, it's looking at another angle of abuse and this idea that so often the abused is, it becomes their responsibility to soothe the abuser, to not make them mad. And Hera is just done. I mean, after finding out that her husband has been basically abusing her their entire marriage, and now she's facing down Cronus, and she's just like, she's going to tear somebody up.
Oh my God. Okay, so the scene changes very quickly here, and we've got Hecate and Daphne are making up a nymph to maybe make her look like Persephone so everybody won't panic, but that's a moment when Persephone shows up, and they're just like, you see her kicking the nymph off the screen. Oh, hi, how are you doing?
And Hecate asks, where's Hera? And, you know, Persephone is like chugging down water, and she says, oh my God, where isn't Hera? She's huge. She's big. She's amazing. And I know how to save the mortal realm. And Hecate says, did you talk to Erebus? And she says, no. Everybody in the comment section delighted. In the comment section thought that was perfect comedic timing there.
Oh man, it's just great. So switch back again, and we're having Hades facing down Cronus, but he tells Cronus, like, he starts strong and he says, not now or ever have I deserved the harm you've caused me, But once again, Cronos manages to regress Hades down to his child form, basically by convincing him that anyone who gets close to him is going to get hurt and it's his fault.
Yeah, and it's not only that, it's that it's his fault because Hades failed to protect his mother or his brothers or his kingdom or his wife, and he's failed to protect them from Cronos. And I'm just like, right. Fuck you, Cronos.
So he's, you know, child form, and he's falling inside of Cronos again, because there's a scene where Cronos swallows him again. And as he's falling, he's telling himself that this is all his fault. And then he remembers what Melanos said, how she was afraid that everyone would hate her, and maybe she shouldn't go home, and maybe it was her responsibility to fix everything. And Hades says, wait.
And then you flash to Cronos, and you see a little, like, impact sign on his chest that it looks like somebody's trying to push their way out. And he says, my daughter thinks she has to repair the harm that you've done. I don't want her to ever feel responsible for someone else's behavior. And none of this is her fault or mine. So why am I letting you put that onus on me? And as he's talking, he's like changing from an infant to a toddler to a teenager, and he's just rising outward. And you see Cronos is just, his chest is starting to glow as the power is sort of trying to break itself out.
He says, why should my self-worth be defined by someone else's abusive behavior? Trying to understand you is a losing battle. And he knows that Aranus was horrible to Cronos, but he can't understand passing on that pain just because he can.
And again, breaking the cycle of abuse, he's not going to pass along what his father did to him. And he's also not going to allow his father to continue to do that. And he manages to break his way out of Cronos. And it's all just glorious artwork. And he faces him down and he tells him, I have to tell you that I forgive you. And Cronos, of course, thinks that he's like weak and just like backing away from anger. And Hades tells him, no, this is for me so that I don't have to hold on to that anger anymore.
And while this is going on, we see images of Hera in her Titan mode stepping on Cronos's head in her fight. And I think it's really trying to play up the fact that for him, what he needed to do was tell Cronos that he forgave him, and that's a valid decision to make. But for Hera, she needed to tell him that she does not forgive him, and that is an equally valid decision to make.
And I think some of the commenters said that what you see Hera doing is striking Cronos down with the fire of 1,000 suns. And it's just, again, beautiful artwork. I think Rachel is acknowledging now that this is wrapping up the whole entire story. So she's pouring all of her talent into these frames. And it is just absolutely glorious. But what Hades does, and you see him, and he's actually big, holding Cronos in his hands. So it's a wonderful reversal there. But what he does to make sure that Cronos can't hurt anybody anymore is that he crushes him in his hand, and then he opens up his hand, and he's turned Cronos into a shiny rock, which is the name of the episode. Yee!
Oh, man. A lot of the commenters were pointing out that it's a blue diamond, which is there. What was the famous blue diamond that was such terrible luck for the people who possessed it?
The Hope Diamond, oddly enough. So it's very thematically nice there, if that's what she was going for. Yeah, and he tells him, I hope this new form will allow you to find the same peace that I have found. And that is where we end the episode. And it is... my goodness, just so glorious. And there were some things that the commenters pointed out, that one of the reasons why Apollo may have been able to get the jump on Zeus is because Zeus has been away from Hera for 10 years or more now, because Hera refused to live with him anymore after what he did. So he hasn't, and he's probably been leaning on her powers this entire time. So he wasn't able to sense or be able to fight off whatever drug it was that Apollo gave him. So I'm really looking forward to what the denouement is going to be between Hera and Zeus when he finally comes out of the coma, which I hope he does. But a lot of other people are hoping that Hera is going to end up being the ruler of Olympus after all this.
As much as I want to see her just really give Zeus a piece of her mind, I could see her just being like, maybe we'll just leave you like that. You know, you're not hurting anybody there. No more nymphs are going to get chased around, but I don't know. 6 more episodes. That's one of the reasons why I was a little impatient in this episode, because I'm like, Rachel, you got 6 more episodes and you've got to tie up all these loose threads. Let's not spend too much time on one conversation.
Oh, goodness. Yeah. Do you take a look at the thumbnails for the upcoming episodes?
I do, but I haven't this time.
Oh, man. I'm hoping episode 277 is going to be interesting because we see Apollo and he looks a little bit shocked.
Yay. I want him to be shocked. Oh, I want all the shock. God, Apollo needs to get his ass beat.
He does. Well, episode 276 it's a thumbnail of somebody who's standing there with his hair blowing in the wind and he's got his eyes closed, but his skin is golden and I cannot figure out who that's supposed to be. I mean, it doesn't... Maybe, you know, Aries, I think, has gold skin, but this person doesn't have, like, the orange bar over his eyes that Aries is usually pictured as. So do we know any other male gods that have gold skin?
No, and we're sure it's not Apollo glowing with, like, godly light or something?
Maybe. I don't know. That's a good... That could be it. Like, trying to undo the damage that Persephone did to him when she made his eyes bleed.
Oh, gracious heavenly days. Oh, my goodness. You know, every once in a while I go on Instagram and I'm looking around at things on the Binary System account because I'm going to be posting things, and I'll catch sight of what looks like screen caps from Fast Past episodes, which I hope is not the case. But there did seem to be one of, like, Apollo... like, lying on the ground with his back facing us. Mm. Like, he's just, like, recovering from the ass beating. So we'll see next couple episodes if that actually was a screen cap. By the way, don't do that. Don't post screen caps from the actual Fast Pass episodes because not everybody reads those.
Yeah, that's... And, you know, they're pretty strict, I think, on the conversations about the different episodes on Instagram and on the Webtoons app, and they're like, spoilers for FastPass episodes are going to get deleted, guys. So they really don't want to ruin it for everybody. And they kind of want people to pay their own FastPass money if they really, really want to find out about what's going to happen.
Seriously. Ugh. And, you know, I looked around, and there isn't any word about the Netflix cartoon that they were going to make. I mean, there hasn't been any updates at all. And a lot of people think that it's probably not going to happen because Netflix keeps changing their mind and canceling things. And it's just annoying.
And I watched Jeff Smith have to deal with everything with trying to make a comic or a cartoon about his Bone comic. And and then, of course, Richard and Wendy Pinney from ElfQuest have, like, given an entire saga about some of the things. Like, some producer said what they were going to do was going to make a live-action one. And they're like, but wait a minute, all these people are elves and they ride wolves. And they're like, it's no problem. We'll just get little kids and have them ride really big dogs. And it's just the whole idea about... It's got to be such a crapshoot what your experience is going to be with your creation is getting turned into another medium and you don't have all the control over it.
I'm kind of amazed that anything in Hollywood gets made. Yeah. I get some of these horror stories that you hear. I mean, changing the entire concept, changing whole characters, changing the meaning, changing the venue, all this kind of stuff. Just producers just have to put their little ideas in there.
Well, that and what is it? Was it Coyote versus Roadrunner? The whole story about that the producer had the entire movie put together and everybody was really looking forward to it. And a lot of people who saw some, like, early showings of it or like, you know, private showings who were working in the industry said that it was actually really amazing and what, like, Looney Tunes fans would love. And then the production company just decided, nah, and it's just for a tax write-off. Nobody's going to get to see it ever. And people are talking about that whole awful thing where... the cinematographer on the movie Rust, the shooting that happened where she got killed, they're still going to be releasing that movie where somebody died. And yet, you know, Coyote versus Roadrunner is just going to be sitting on a shelf for forever.
So, I mean, on the one hand, I would like to see a cartoon. But on the other hand, I'm not desperate to see a cartoon of Lore Olympus just because I find the Webtoons version is really all I need.
Yes, it is. I mean... we have seen some animations from the Lackadaisy cartoon, and they're amazing, but I think the artist has, like, got 100% control over everything and is, like, intimately involved in every step of the process so that you know that if it makes it onto the screen, it's the way she wants it to be. And I just, I would hope if they ever decide to go with Lore Olympus, the cartoon, that it would be the same thing with Rachel.
Yeah, Lackadaisy was funded by Kickstarter, wasn't it?
It was, yes. Yeah, nice. It's all very much an independent production, I think.
Nice. Kickstarter is good for some things.
It is, yeah.
Well, that's it for Lore Olympus this week. Only thing I want to talk about is I am on the final episode of the second season of Carnival Row, and I have to tell you, this has taken me for friggin' ever to watch this damn thing. I am just not engaged with it at all, and I can't point out anything that's bad. It all is very good, but wow. I mean, I literally have 39 minutes left of the final episode, and I haven't been able to just make myself sit down and watch the damn thing.
It's the same thing with me and the Ms. Marvel TV series. I just cannot get the energy to sit down and watch another property. I just want to sit down and watch something that I've already watched like 5 or 6 times so I can work on my crafts and not have to worry about missing something on the screen.
Right, or watch YouTube videos like the Tri Channel.
I love the Tri Channel.
They post every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday.
It's amazing.
And How to Drink has been really good about posting lately. I've been trying to catch up on those. And he did a whole episode on why I deleted this video. And it was all talking about the process of him trying to have AI-created cocktails, but he wanted to get a computer voice. And then come to find out the computer voice that he used for it, everybody hated. And he just had to completely rethink the whole thing. So it's just kind of stressful, I would imagine. And he's really, Greg focuses a lot on viewer engagement and what the numbers are. I mean, I don't know that I watch any other YouTube channels that actually talk about that, figuring out how much difference it makes to have a good thumbnail or a good title.
Yep. Yeah. He even got, I want to say for that episode with the computer voice, I think YouTube actually sent him a warning message that was basically like, just so that you know, this episode is getting so much less engagement. Like, people would actually watch the episode, but then they would bow out after a few minutes and everything. And so even YouTube was just like, dude, something's wrong here.
Well, yeah, that, and apparently they do track when somebody's on YouTube and they show you a suggested video. If you don't click on that as a suggested video, YouTube knows about it, and they can actually give the creators those numbers. I'm like, I'm sorry, there's not enough hours in the day.
There really isn't. Either that, or he talks about how it's really critical that it gets watched like within its first couple of hours. That really determines how well it's going to do. And I'm like, I'm sorry, I can't always get to it like right then and there. And I don't want to rush it. I want to savor YouTube videos.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's How to Drink. I have to have a tasty beverage when I'm watching those.
No, right. I can't do that if he's posting in the middle of the day. But I guess that's going to wrap us up for the week, so make sure to check out pixelatedgeek.com for all the book reviews, the movie reviews, the comic book reviews, the photo galleries. Any conventions you know of coming up soon?
I think GalaxyCon in June or July, something like that. Ooh. And I've started painting my EmojiBot feet, so I am this close to finishing a costume years after the original episode that was based on aired, so probably nobody's going to remember what the hell it's supposed to be.
That's okay. It still makes people laugh. They like the expression on its face.
Well, that was 100% the reason why we chose this in the first place, was those freaking stick person faces.
So awesome. Yeah, I want to look around and see if I can find a convention to go to, something small and local in April, because so far I've managed to go. I went to a convention in December and in January and in February and March, and now I want to keep going. And like, I think it is entirely possible to go to one convention every month.
That sounds cool. That sounds fun. That also sounds a little stressful, so make sure you hydrate and avoid the con crud wherever possible, because con crud now apparently is fatal if COVID's in the mix.
I got really lucky for WonderCon. I don't think I was nearly as careful about my mask as I should be, but, you know, I'm just like, for an entire week, I'm sort of walking around with my fingers crossed. I'm like, I think I'm okay. Anyway, all that and more, pixelatedgeek.com. So I believe next week we might not have a Night Vale quite yet. I think it's going to be like one more day past our usual recording day.
Possibly, yes. We could possibly check this out and make sure, but, you know, why would we prepare?
Nah, that ain't us, but I am sure we will find something in the nerd world to distract us. So one way or the other, we will talk to everybody in 1 week.
Talk to y'all later.